You can hear me. Good. Good morning, and welcome to our youth-led service this morning. We thank you all for turning up and being here with us. God is good, amen? Amen. We're just going to pray, and we're going to pray for our youth today as well. Amen. God is good. The weather's beautiful, and God is always on time. Amen. And the theme today is, can God really use me? And that's our theme today. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you so much this morning. We give you glory and we give you honor. Lord, we thank you so much for this youth team, Lord. They're incredible, Father God. And we just pray for our Karina who's up there, and I've seen her, Lord, who's been so unwell, but we know she wants to be down here too. And we thank you for all of their lives, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that you just bless this team, Lord, as they lead the church into worship. Lord, have your way this morning, because it's all about you. It's never about man. It's always about you, Lord, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Come on, our wonderful team.
Thank you.
I'd done it the wrong way around. I prayed before. I was meant to wait for this song before I prayed again. So guess what? We're getting double prayers. Hey? What a happy day, hey? What a glorious day that Jesus has saved us. Amen, church? Amen. So Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord. We're coming for double prayer, Lord, but we just thank you so much for who you are, Lord, and what you do for us, Father God. There is no one like you, Jesus. You are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. And nobody comes to the Father except through the Son. And what's his name? Jesus. Amen. Amen.
With you, we are victorious.
Amen. Let's move on to our next song, Every Giant Will Fall. Let's just pray for Emily. She's not feeling herself today too much, bless her. But God is good. I'm going to come up here and sing along. How about that? Perfect. Let's do it. Perfect. What do you mean, oh dear? Come on. We're struggling, people. We're struggling.
I'm doing that one.
That's all right. We don't need to do that just yet. What we're going to quickly do is move on. Let's just move on to the birthday box for a minute. Cause we had one, every giant will fall. Then we're going to have birthday box and announcements. So let's do birthday box. Apparently, Ollie, you want to do that for a reason.
Of getting my vengeance.
Mum.
My mum. It is my mum's birthday today.
Hey.
And we have another one.
Oh, any more birthdays to come down from the young ones? Come down. Come down. Yeah.
I'm not going to say how old my mum's turned, otherwise I'll get a punishment.
Anyone's got a birthday coming up? Christine, are you up there? Christine, yeah.
Hey.
The big 2-0, man. Coming in. How old are you? Eight on Friday. How old are you?
Five.
When are you going to be five? You're already five. When was you five? Yesterday? Are you going to be six? Six, Mum. Six. Mum said you're going to be six. Have you forgotten? There you are. Trust me, it happens a lot to me too. Do you guys want to pick a present from the birthday box? Whilst you're doing that, let's sing happy birthday.
Birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah. Are we going back to smash every giant. Yeah? Come on, we've got this. We're going to go back to every giant, yeah? No. We messed. You weren't here. We sounded terrible. No, I sounded really bad. Got some announcements to do before we move on to the next part, and I have some baptism certificates to give out, but I'm not sure if everybody is here. So I have, and you might not have received them, they've been here for a while. So I've got Dami Omomahian. Dami? No? Is that your brother? Come on, Charles. Come and get it for your brother. Bye-bye. Nice one. Michelle Brogan, are you in the house? Come on, Michelle. Thank you very much. Nice one. I don't think we've got Francesca in today, have we? No. So that means we ain't got Jack. Thomas Winter. Yay. And Cornelia? Cornelia? No, that's all right. We managed to give out a few, didn't we? So I'm just going to hand over to Flavy. Flavy, if you'd like to come up, because Flavy just wants to talk to us regarding some evangelism stuff. Amen?
Good morning, church. Sorry. Good morning, church. Good morning. Right, this morning I've got two short points to make. The first is this. If you feel led in your heart to mentor a new Christian, if you know you've got the gift, please can you see me after service today or whenever you can. Or if you feel led to be supportive to a new person that is in faith, please do come and find me after service. Now the second point is this. Like me, as Christian, I have been born in the church, but my list of desire to want my friends and close relatives and colleagues to be saved, the list never ends. I don't know about you, but my list never ends. When I think, oh, this person has given their life to Christ, oh, then I find myself in a new workplace. Then I get close to someone else. Then I'm thinking, God, there's another person I need to start praying for. So it gets excited, if you ask me. It gets excited. And I believe that's what the gospel is about, to keep sharing. But today, I'm here, like me, to ask you, do you have anybody or a bucket list of people that you are believing God to come to the faith? You don't need to put your hands up. I just want you to meditate on this question or reflect on it. Reflect on the people we have around us. Because the Bible lets us know that when we are saved, our whole household should be saved. And that goes according to the book of Acts 16:31, when the jailer, when Paul and Silas was in prison, and the jailer find out that the chain was broken after they prayed and worship, and eventually cut the story short. He finally found them, and Paul and Silas say to him, "Today is your day of salvation, you and your household." Now that is a promise that we have been given. Just like the promise of Abraham. When Abraham was promised to leave his father and mother's land, it was a promise, but the Bible says that Abraham had to exercise faith. Okay? So on that point, while you're pondering on it, Jadiel, if I can have you play in this video, so I'll just let you watch this video and I'll come back and explain further.
My grandfather suddenly died. We were all devastated. I was angry. I told God I hated him. And I was instantly sorry for saying such a thing. And I told God I was sorry. But I continued to feel guilty because deep in my heart I thought I had committed the unpardonable sin. Life went on and I continued to play softball. I was offered a scholarship for college. I had everything going for me. I was well-liked. I made MVP and Golden Glove my freshman year. I excelled at everything. I made all-city, and then finally my dream was coming true. I was invited to play on the Women's Olympic trial team. Fresh out of college, I got a job in the medical field. I really loved it. I always wanted to help people, and I was doing exactly that. Everything was going great. I met Michael in my early 20s. He was funny and affectionate. We had rocky moments in our relationship, but in 1996, we finally married, and I thought I had it all. I had a new husband, a great job, house, a car, my softball, money, the hopes for a future family, and my health, or so I thought. When the doctor said that I couldn't have children, that it would kill me or the baby or both. And it got worse. My marriage started to decline, and for various reasons, it ended. So now I lost my husband, my home, my job. I had no money. I had nothing. I felt abandoned. I felt like I lost my identity. I didn't know who I was anymore. And at the same time, my mother was sick and dying. I didn't think it could get any worse. I had just lost everything. I told God I didn't want any friends. And my heart grew hard, and walls went up. It was then I received a call from my cousin Mary Ann, asking me if I could fix her computer. I said yes, and she came over. As I began working on her computer, she started telling me about Jesus, and I remember looking at her surprised. And I told her, I know God. Like, why would she tell me about Jesus? And she went on and told me that Jesus loves me and died on the cross for me. And he said that we're all sinners in need of a Savior. And all I had to do was ask Jesus to forgive me and ask him to save me. My cousin told me about this TV show that I could watch and learn about God. I remember laying in bed that night just feeling so broken, so hopeless. My thoughts were spinning out of control. I turned on the TV and there was this woman praying, just talking to God like a friend. And I began praying and crying. And I asked Jesus for the first time, please help me, to forgive me, to come into my heart. I knew I needed God in my life. I thought I was in control of my life, and I realized I was not.
4 months after I met her in March of 2003, I had just turned 21. And at that point, I woke up in a hospital bed that morning on a Sunday morning, and my dad was leaning over me. It was the first face I saw. He was leaning over me, and he said, son, if you had died, would you have been in heaven? And all I could do was shake my head no. So that was a point where I gave up my false profession. It still, you know, a lot of people that know me now, they think that I'm the way I am now because of that traumatic accident. And that's not the case. You know, I've had to explain that to so many people that, you know, I went through that, and I know that it was God's hand that, you know, that kept me, because I should have died in that car accident.
When I was 14 years old, my grandfather suddenly died. We were all devastated. I was angry. I told God I hated him. And I was instantly sorry for saying such a thing. And I told God I was sorry. But
thank you, JJ. God bless you. And thank you, Efan. These two have been wonderfully supportive in helping me cut this video. In fact, it makes me cry every time I keep watching and watching. I just unfortunately didn't want to take the whole of your time this morning, but I just wanted to give you a sneak peek. I don't know whether you've picked a pivotal moment within their testimony. Amanda was witnessed to by her cousin. Amanda said she knows God. She said she spoke to God, but she has not known Jesus. Just like us, we have relatives and close friends that we can profess the faith to. And Luke was his father after a drastic accident. He was in a coma. When he came out, his dad had to ask him that serious question. Again, like Amanda, he professed to know God, but he realized that he had to give away his false profession of knowing God. So today, Luke has been promoted to heaven, and I am so grateful that his father had the boldness to have that conversation with him. By the grace of God, they will meet one day, and that is where I get my comfort from. But today, I'm here to encourage you to join the outreach team. We have a training happening on the 6th of June in the in here in the church on 6th of June from 1 p.m. It doesn't matter if you are not part of the outreach team. The aim of the training is for us to learn strategies, learn how to listen, and discover when is a pivotal moment to share the gospel, be it with our close relative, our friends, or even perfect strangers. But whomsoever the Lord laid in our heart is important for us to be equipped. It took, I must say, some sort of courage of Amanda's cousin to have come, because everything that she explained did not happen overnight, is it? I'm sure she knew it. But that pivotal moment, she had to summon up courage and said, you know what, I'm going in. I'm going to preach Jesus Christ to her. So like these two people and their relative, if you have anybody you are believing God for, or you have been believing God for so long, this is an opportunity that the outreach team would like to warmly invite the church to join us on the 6th of June for us to learn all these strategies together, not only prayerfully, but also by faith, by work, because the Bible says faith without work is dead. So therefore, we need to apply our faith. Now, before I leave you, I'd like to let you know that this program, please mark the date in your diary. Why is that? Because it's going to be a powerful one. It's going to be a practical one, and it's going to be an inspiring one. So I thank you this morning for your attention, and God bless you.
Spirit was moving over the water. Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. So calm down, Spirit, when you're moving my heart pound. When you feel the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me. Over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let the heaven on it. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let the heaven on it. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. you fill the room. You're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me come down. Spirit, when you move, make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Shadows, but light. want to speak the name of Jesus. Over every heart and every mind. So I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Can we go back to your name is power?
Power, your name is healing, your name is life.
Break every stronghold, Lord.
Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
One more time, church.
Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life.
Hallelujah.
Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
What a God we serve, church. What a God we serve. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well done, gang. Louisa's first solo. Didn't she do good? Amen. And now you've got to put up with me. I've got a croaky voice, so I need some water. But a croaky voice makes you sound a bit more hard, you know, rather than my squeaky voice. Amen. So today's sermon was about, can God really use me? And the scripture I just want to read is from Galatians 2:20. And it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. I've heard so many times, God can't use me. I've been a Christian for 18 years. And in that 18-year period, I've said, God, you can't use me. Definitely not. When I first joined the church, I thought I was definitely unusable, but I was just so thankful to be saved. That was enough for me. But sometimes when we say to God, you can't use me, in a strange way, we're saying to God that his grace is not sufficient for us. That his grace is not enough for us. And we know that God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is enough for every single one of us. So when you go to God and say, God, you can't use me, you're saying to him basically that what Jesus done on the cross wasn't enough for me. But it was. It was more than enough. More than enough. God's in the business of using the unusable. And that's what I love so much about the God we serve. He don't have any favorites. He doesn't have any grandchildren. We're all children of God. Amen? So let's look at some of the reasons we might say to God, why you can't use us. So one of them might be, you think you're going to mess it up. Well, I've got news for you. You will mess it up sometimes. 100% guaranteed, you will mess it up sometimes. And if God was going to base his feeling of using you based upon whether you might or might not mess it up, then he won't use anybody because nobody will then be usable. He knows you're going to mess things up. We do get things wrong. We do make mistakes. Maybe you feel like you're going to be judged. Look at him up on the pulpit, giving it large about God. If you take me back to where I grew up, they'd be turning around saying, you don't know him like we know him. And that's slightly true. But God's done a work in me, and I'm no longer like that person they thought they knew. That person's dead. Amen? But we might think we're going to be judged by other people, judged by, you know, because of what we did or didn't do. And people look at us with a judgment of saying, well, you're not good enough. But you are. Fearful. Fear makes us do a lot of things, eh? I hate wasps. Anybody else in the house? I've told you about my fox fear. This is my second fear, number two, is wasps. If I see a wasp, I run. Look at the size of me. You know, there's been times where I've been in some real dodgy situations, you know, that should be more fearful than a wasp. You know, and I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Do what you want to do to me. I'm hard. I'm a Londoner. Then a wasp comes, I'm like, oh, help! As you see me pulling up my trousers, running away from this wasp. We've all got fears, church. We've all got fears. But we need to become less fearful about what out there says we should and shouldn't be like. And understand the God that we serve is an incredible, incredible God. Amen? Some fear is good fear, don't get me wrong. Running from a wasp is not. But some fear is good fear, don't get me wrong. Maybe you think you're not ready. Who is ready in reality? Who's ever felt like, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do it. I've got my life together. I've not met anyone that is officially ready. You're walking in faith. You're walking in faith. You're not living how you once lived. It's you no longer live, but Christ lives in you. We're not always going to be ready. Maybe you think you're too old. Was you here with reality? He said if you're 65 and above, reignite that fire and keep going. Yeah? Maybe you think you're too young. But there's many people in the Bible that were used at many stages of their lives when they said yes to God. They say Moses was 80. Yeah. So that takes it away from most of us, eh? I know they lived a bit longer then, don't get me wrong. They say David was up to the age of 16 when he was going to be anointed as king. Up to the age of 16. Can you imagine that now, a 16-year-old, to be anointed as king? So as we said, your confidence is no longer in yourself. Your confidence is in Christ that you serve. Everyone in this church today who says yes to Jesus has a gift inside of them, guaranteed, implanted by the Holy Spirit, 100%. Everyone that said yes to Jesus has a gift inside of them. Amen? So are we going to continue to sit on the gifts God has placed in us? Or are we going to go let God use the gifts that he's placed in us? We know the scripture of the guys with the talents and the one that came back and didn't do anything with it. We can't not do anything with the gifts that God has placed in us. They're different gifts, don't get me wrong, but they serve one purpose. They're there to serve Christ. They're there to serve Jesus. So we have to stop making excuses as to why we can't be used by God. God is never going to embarrass us. God is not in the business of making us look stupid. Jesus wants to empower us and uplift us for the gospel, for the work of Christ. And that might be to bring the gospel to the people of Sittingbourne, or maybe to the nations, but he's not here to make us look stupid. Many of us carry one of these around. A book of excuses. The books of why I can't. The books of why I will not. The books of so many different things that we say to God as to why we can't. And we have to. Chuck it away. There's no more excuses when we're in Christ, because Christ is going to use us all in different ways and in powerful ways. Amen? In the book of Acts 4:13, and I love this because this scripture speaks to me. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were what? Astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. The way they were speaking and the confidence that they had, they couldn't believe that these were unschooled men. There was no training. They didn't go, you know, get training like the scribes and everybody else did. And that's what threw them off. When I was in school, some might have said I might have had a bit of dyslexia. I don't think I did. But I was definitely a class clown. Not that you would believe that. I didn't get any grades from school, and I really wished I did. And parents, don't panic. I'm not promoting this down in underground, all right? I'm not promoting, don't worry, I didn't get any grades, so you're going to be all right. My boys are getting grades. They're not going to grow up the way I did. Amen? But I love that because it spoke to me. An ordinary man. A class clown. I truly wish that I did have someone in my life to support or to engage with me fully and properly and could look past the facade. Youth, trust me, I can see through your facade. It's all right. I've been there. We've all been there. Because once I got something, I got it. I got it. But I didn't really have that person in my life during those times to push me in the right direction. I had many people in my life to push me in the opposite direction. So I'm not up here because of me, but because of Christ in me. Just like in the scripture that they were astonished, it always goes back to the God they serve. Before this job, I was a part of the youth offending team. And I walked into this office in February 2020. Amazing office, busy, crazy, KCC was incredible. And of course, in March 2020, the office emptied very quickly because COVID came. And I was learning this new job. I had to learn this job through a computer screen. But what's funny is this class clown had to do some things like write pre-sentence reports to the judges. Stand up in front of the judge and bring a program, offer a program out to stop these youths going into prison and actually bringing a program to them and saying, look, let's keep them out of prison. Let's do this program with them. Let's work with them and let's try and keep them back, as we call it, on the straight and narrow. I knew then it's only God in me that's doing this. There can't be any other reason. Writing pre-sentence reports, all of this stuff. I mean, the paperwork was immense. I travelled the world, been in places I could never have dreamed of. My first ever sermon that I preached was in the dump sites of the Philippines. First ever sermon that I preached. And 20 youth gave their lives to the Lord. Amen. God's good. Amen. All glory to God. And when I went into the most notorious prison in Ghana, watching big men that committed murder cry like babies when they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is Ricky that people said would never amount to anything. This is the Ricky that people thought he should go to prison, that he would end up down the wrong path. But when you know God and God is in you, anything and everything is possible with him. Amen? And the same God that I am screaming and talking about right now is the same God that's inside every single one of us in this church this morning. Amen? We cannot claim God's glory. That's why he uses people, the ordinary people like us, to go out, whether that's in your business, your workplace, wherever that is. We can't claim his glory because it all goes back to him. But what we do need, church, in this moment is a willing heart. Are you willing to say yes to God? Will you say yes to the calling that he's placed on your life? We have to have that willing heart. I don't know if you've ever heard the song, I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes to your will, Lord. I'll say yes where you lead me. I will go. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes. And it was one of the most simplest songs I've ever heard. And it made me cry. Because it was in a moment, I was in a tug of war with my calling. And in the end, I said, Lord, I'll say yes. I'll say yes. Amen. We've all got natural gifts. Mine's good looks. That come naturally to us, you know. But you see, when it's God, it's no longer natural gifts. It's no longer natural gifts that we're talking about. It's a gift that you say, oh, I'm out of my comfort zone here. Oh, where am I going to find the finances for this? I don't really have the right people in my life right now. Trust me, God will provide it. But it's these gifts that don't come natural. Sometimes to us that God is calling us into. So today, there are people here sitting today, as I've discovered, with books in them. I won't say. Yeah, see, me and Lacey had a chat, and I said, God placed on my heart already that somebody has got books in them. She said, God has placed it in my heart to write a book. Amen? Incredible. God knows what he's doing. And we're going to pray for Lacey and know that the God in her will help her write that book in Jesus' name. Amen? We've got people with ministries in them right now. People sitting on ministries ready to be birthed out of them. But they are getting in the way. Because you've got to say yes to God. You've got to know your God. Know the God you serve. Amen? I just want to read out two more scriptures quickly. The one from David. It says, but the Lord said to Samuel, that's 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. What people might see is irrelevant to God. It's what God sees that counts. Amen? People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Church, just get a willing heart from today, amen, to say yes to him. And in 1 Peter 4, verses 10 to 11, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Your gift ain't for you. If there's a gift for you, I'll challenge that where that gift might have come from. The gift the Lord has given to you is to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. If we all had one gift the same, there'll be a big wrestling ring to find out who's going to get up there first with it. But God has given us various forms of gifts. And it says, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. We're going to sing that song together. I Say Yes before we bring up the worship team. It's a very simple song. And we're going to say yes to him today. Amen. Are you ready? I say yes, Lord. I say yes. Where you lead me, I say yes to your will, Lord. I will go. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes. Amen. Let's bring up the worship team. The last song we've got is Blessed Be the Name. Is that right? We all know this one, so we can sing along to this one. Anyone wants prayer, don't forget the prayer corner is always open. And if you want prayer, there'll be deacons and leaders there over there to pray for you. Amen. Amen. Let's stand, church.
Streams of abundance flow, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, when I'm found in the desert place. Now I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every road marked with suffering. Now there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out of, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. I will
blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Amen.
Let this be that you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. Empty cross, the empty grave. Life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Oh, happy day, you washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am at last, meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy, perfect peace, every pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. My sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day.